Welcome back to the Tanakh Study Center series on Sefer Yirmiyahu. In today's show, we're studying Perek Lamed Bet, Chapter 32. This is the word of God to Yirmiyahu. And this nevuah took place in the 10th year of Tzidkiyahu. This coincides with the 18th year of Nebuchadrezzar, which is the same year when the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, according to the Babylonian years. That's during the siege. Recall the siege began on Asar B'Tevet in the 9th year. And about 18 months later, in the month of Av, in the 11th year, is when Yerushalayim finally falls. In the meantime, Yirmiyahu himself is under arrest in an area called the courtyard of the Matara, or Chatzar Matara, either nearby or belonging to the king of Yehuda. Why the jail is called Chatzar Matara? There are several explanations. Lintor, in Hebrew, is to guard someone. So it could be Matara, might be from the Lashon of Lintor. And a Chatzar is a courtyard, which is open, doesn't have a roof. This could have been a type of jail either for criminals, or it seems more like this is a jail for political detainees, especially if this Chatzar Matara is related in some way to Beit HaMelech Yehuda, people who the king or the ministers don't want running around freely in public may be kept in this open courtyard. Asher kol'o Tzidkiyahu melech Yehuda lemor, Yirmiyahu was put in jail by King Tzidkiyahu, and now we get the reason why Yirmiyahu was put in jail. Madu atani ba lemor kol mar Adonai hineni dotein et er hazot b'yad melech Bavel ulechada. Yirmiyahu was being arrested for predicting and claiming that this city is going to fall in the hands of Melech Bavel. What's so bad about making these predictions? We've discussed this many times before, that the king is trying very hard to rally the people to fight against the Babylonians and join this coalition with other nations in the Middle East against Babel. If Yirmiyahu's prophecy is heard in public, that will weaken the military effort against Babel, and therefore, people like Yirmiyahu who make these predictions have to be put under arrest. Not only did Yirmiyahu predict that Babel would win, Yirmiyahu also prophesied that Tzidkiyahu would not be able to run away from the custom. Ki hi naton yinatein b'yad melech Babel. He'll be given over and taken by the king of Babel. V'diber piv im piv ve'inav et einav tirena. He'll be brought right to the king. He'll see him eye to eye and speak to him face to face. And as happens later on, he's punished directly by the king himself. U'Babel yolich et Tzidkiyahu. He'll be exiled to Babel. V'sham yiyah, there he'll remain. Ad pokdi otonu madonai. That even if you fight, or when you fight against the Kasdim, you won't be successful. For that reason, he's been in jail. Pasuk Vav. Yirmiyahu tells the people around him in Chatzar Matara, either his fellow detainees or the people in Yerushalayim who can come and visit, this is what God told me. Yirmiyahu tells the people around him that God had told him that his cousin, or that his uncle, Hanamel, is going to come to him, and he's going to tell you, "Kinei lecha et sadi asher banatot, ki lecha mishpat hagula liknot." Your uncle is going to come to you and tell you to please buy on his behalf his field in the city of Anatot. Recall, Anatot is the city Yirmiyahu is from, several kilometers north of Yerushalayim, between Har Tzofim and Pisgat Zev of today. Ki lecha mishpat hagula liknot. It's your turn now, it's your responsibility now to redeem the field. It seems like Hanamel had gone bankrupt and he had to sell his field to pay off his debts. And the law is from Parshat Behar that when a person, kiemucha chicha, should your brother or relative become poor and have to sell his field, then it's the responsibility of his relatives to buy it back from him so a person should not lose his nachala. Sure enough, pasachet, v'yavoy lai Hanamel ben dodi kidvar Adonai. Sure enough, later that day, Hanamel, his uncle or cousin came by, as God said, El Chatzar Matara, to the jail where Yirmiyahu is being held. Vayomer Elai, Kneina Ad Sadi Asher Banatot, Asher Beretz Binyamin, Ki Lecha Mishpat HaYerusha, Ulecha Agula. Please come by my field, Nitzan Anatot, because you would be the one who would inherit it should I die, and therefore it's your responsibility now also to redeem it while I'm alive, because I'm in debt. Kneilach, please buy it. When Hanamel came and asked him to do that for him, and then he was reassured that indeed the prophetic dream that he had was a true one, as Hanamel indeed came. Therefore, Yirmiyahu buys the field of his cousin Hanamel, Asher Banatot, the field that was in the city of Anatot, Veshkala lo et hakesef shiva shkalim v'asara hakesef. And he gave him the amount of money, which was 7 shekel of that time, and 10 kesef, that seems like the amount of change. According to the calculations in Tat Mikra, based on weights from ancient times, it comes out to about 8.5 grams of silver. Pasuk Yod, v'chtob b'sefer v'chtom, v'ed edim, v'shkol kesef b'mosnaim. And I wrote this down in a deed, either a book or a piece of parchment, and had it signed, and made sure there were witnesses, v'ed edim, and we made the transaction of the money with proper balances. And from this pasuk, we learn many halachot and the laws of shtarot and the laws of Jewish documents about the need to have a shtar and the need to have signatories and the need to have witnesses. As we'll see in the next pasuk, we're going to read about an ancient custom, which is corroborated with other sources, about how they wrote deeds in those days. Ve'kach et sefer ha-mikna, Yirmiyahu then takes a deed of purchase, which has two parts. Et echatum ha-mitzvah v'chukim v'tekaloi. There were two parts in ancient deeds. One part was signed and closed and kept for verification. The other part was open. And what they used to do, they would write two copies of the deed of transaction. One section would be open where everyone could read. Another section would be closed and tied up with several strings and then closed so it couldn't be opened by anybody. Should a question come up in regard to the validity of what's written in the open part, Beit Din, the court system, would open up the seal and check what was the inside part. So in general, the open part, the galui, was enough for transactions and to prove ownership. But to make sure, in case any question would come up, or feared that someone had counterfeited this document, then we have the area which is sealed and closed, and that's what's called the chatum. And inside the chatum part, you have exact details of the mitzvah and the chukim relating to that purchase. So let's read Yud Aleph again. Ve'kach et sefer ha-mikna, he takes the deed of purchase, which includes et ha-chatum ha-mitzvah v'chukim, the sealed part with the terms and conditions, v'et ha-galui, and the open part which everyone could read and could be known in public. Pasuk Yud Bet, v'etein et sefer ha-mikna, aborch ben Neria ben Machsiya, l'enei Chanamel Dudi, u'l'enei ha-edim ha-kotvim b'sefer ha-mikna, l'enei kol ha-yudim ha-yoshvim b'chatzer ha-matara. Then he takes this deed of purchase, and he gives it to Baruch ben Neria ben Machsiya. And this is done publicly in the eyes of his uncle Hanamel, and also under the eyes of all the witnesses who were writing inside this document, and also before the eyes of all the Jews sitting and gathering around in Chatzar Matara, in this courtyard where the jail is. But Tzevet Baruch l'nem l'mor. I commanded Baruch in front of everybody publicly saying, Ko amar Adonai tzvot elah Yisrael. This is the word of God. L'koach et ha-sfarim ha'ele, et sefer ha-mikna hazeh, v'tachatum, v'tsefer ha-galoi hazeh, take this document, both the sealed part and the open part, untatam v'chli chares, l'man yamdu yamin rabim. Put them in an earthen vessel and a piece of pottery in order that they will last for a long time. Why do I make it to make sure that these deeds and documents of purchase will last for a long time? Ki cho amar donai tzvot elahi Yisrael, od yikanu batim v'sadot uchramim v'eretz hazot. A time will come where the real estate market is going to pick up once again. In a time like during the 10th year of Hezekiah, several months before the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed and the city's been under siege for over a year, the real estate market is falling apart. People aren't buying fields and there's very little value to a deed of purchase about land, especially land far away outside the city. However, Yirmiyahu wants to show the people that even though the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, one day Am Yisrael is going to return, and that's been the theme of all the chapters since chapter 30. It is the vote of Nechama, and that's why this parak is in this section of Sefer Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu tells the scribe publicly, I want you to keep these and put these in a very safe container, because one day this deed of purchase will be very valuable, because one day people will come back and the real estate market will be back and flourish again. So again, translating Pasuk Tetvav, verse 15, a time will come and people will still buy houses, fields, and vineyards in this land. After this story is over, Yirmiyahu now is very distraught and turns to God and doesn't understand what's going on. Pasuk Tetzayin, Vet palel el Adonai achariti tiet sefer ha-mikna aborch ben Neria lemor. After I finished this transaction, took care of the deed and gave it to my scribe, Yirmiyahu turns to God and prays as follows. Pasuk Tetzayin, aha. Hashem Elokim, hine ata asita et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz. You're the God who made the heavens and the earth. V'chochacha gadol u'vizorcha natuya, with your great strength and outstretched hand. Lo yipalei mimcha kol davar. There's nothing that you can't do. Nothing too hard for you. Oseh chesed alafim. Mishalem avon avot alchek b'nehem achareim. You show mercy to thousands. Here we see in Yirmiyahu's tefillah, we're following the format, which we're familiar with from Shmoneh Esrei, that before you ask God something, you begin with Shebach, you praise God and talk about how great He is. And many of our own tefillah today are based on this format of Yirmiyahu, and even using some of the same words. Yirmiyahu is going to continue in the Shebach of God, but describing how great He is, and He's going to use words and imagery from the second commandment of the Ten Commandments. Oseh chesed alafim, your God who does shows kindness and mercy to thousands. U'mishalem avon avot elchek b'nehem acharem. But you also pay the sin of the fathers to the children who come after them. Ha'el ha'gadol ha'gibor, Adonai Tzvot Shemo. God who is great and powerful. God who is great and mighty. His name is Hashem Tzvot. It's interesting, this relationship between parents and children is fitting in this case here of purchasing a field, because when you purchase a field, the rights of the father are passed on to the child that inherits him. Gadol ha'itza v'rav ha'lila. The God who is great in counsel, the mastermind of all history. Asher incha pukuchot, al kol darchei bnei adam. Your eyes are open, means you understand all the ways of man. You know what they're doing and what they're thinking. Letet lish kidrachav uchefrim alalav, and you give man based on his ways and based on his deeds. You give him what he deserves. Asher samto tot muftim be'eretz Mitzrayim. You are the God who put all these signs and miracles in the land of Egypt. And you've done miracles like this to this very day, and you've made for yourself this great name and reputation as you're known today universally. You took your people of Israel out of Egypt. You took us out of Egypt with signs and miracles, with a strong arm and an outstretched hand, and with great terror and fear. And you gave them this land. You gave our forefathers the land of Israel, a land flowing in milk and honey. Yirmiyahu is reviewing Jewish history of how we arrived at the situation that we're at today, right prior to the Qurban of the first Beit HaMikdash. And he's going to explain why it is that we're losing this Beit HaMikdash now. Am Yisrael came out of Egypt after God redeemed them, and they inherited the land. They didn't listen to you. They didn't obey you. They didn't follow your laws. Et kol asher tzivit alehem nasot, everything you commanded them to do, lo asut, they didn't do. Vatakrei otam et kol harazot, all this terrible evil that's about to befall them is all because of their bad deeds. Now that he finished the history of the Jewish people up until this date, he's going to make his point. Pasach Adalet. Hineh asololot bo ha'ir lelachda. Now they're building up the ramps and the mounds of dirt, getting ready for the siege of the city. And they're coming now to the city to capture it. And the city is about to be given over to the Kasdim, who are fighting against it. And the city is also being plagued by sword, and by famine, and by pestilence, as you yourself said, and you see it. In other words, Yirmiyahu is saying, everything's falling apart. V'ata amarta elai, Hashem Elokim, k'nei lecha sadeh b'kesef, v'eir edim, v'hir nitna b'yad kasdim. The city is about to fall to the kasdim, and you're telling me to go buy a field now and pay money and bring witnesses? Yirmiyahu is saying, what do you want from me? You're making a fool out of me. What point is there in buying fields when the city is about to be destroyed? Yirmiyahu finishes his prayer to God. He's looking for meaning and understanding. Why is God telling him to do this? God answers in Pasach Chavav. I'm God, the God of all mankind. Do you think something is too hard for me? Is there anything that I can't do? Therefore, this is God's message in relation to what he told Yirmiyahu to do. Indeed, I'm going to give this city to the Kasdim, and the city will fall and be captured by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel. Uvao kasdim anochamim al eir hazot. The kasdim are going to come to the city. Vitzitu at eir hazot ba'esh. Usrafua. They'll burn it down. Veta batim asher kitu agagoteyam labao. Visichu nesachim l'elohim acherim. L'man achiseni. And he's also going to burn down the houses that on the roofs people offered sacrifices to the Baal god, and they poured libations to other gods. And they did this simply to get me angry. Here we have a much better understanding of why God is so angry and what type of idol worship we're talking about. It's not that the people of Israel, from a philosophical point of view, were such believers in Baal gods or these other gods of the other heavens. They were angry with their own God because they had hoped that their own God would come and save them. This we discussed many times in our earlier Shiurim. They were convinced that if they brought enough korbanot, and that's what their false prophets told them, continue to feed God, pray to God, serve Him in the temple, and He'll come and help you and save you from your enemies. And they did, as their false prophets told them, and it didn't help. And when this happened, even in previous generations, the people were so unhappy with how God treated them that they said lahachis, to anger God, they began to worship other gods just to get Him angry. It's like some people who are anti-religious specifically go out to eat on a day like Yom Kippur. People do things not because they believe in something else, but because they're angry with the God they believe in. Now, Yimriel explained many times beforehand why was it that God was unhappy with their sacrifices and why He didn't save them from their enemies because of the bad behavior. The people didn't understand that message. Pasuk Lamed, verse 30. Ki ayu b'nei Yisroel v'nei Yehuda achosim hara b'inai. Minurotam, the children of Israel and of Yehuda, they've been doing evil in my eyes from the time of their youth. They continue to provoke me and get me angry with the work of their hands. God says again. God's saying, I've been angry with this city from the time they established it. God's saying, it's not just because of this generation I'm angry. This is accumulative. Generation after generation, I've been giving them another chance. I've shown mercy. I've given them time to repent. They don't seem to get the message. God's saying, I'm not destroying it only because of this generation. I'm destroying it because of all the acts of all the previous generations as well. And that's why the destruction is coming very soon. God continues now in Pasuk Lamed Bet. Al kol ra'at b'nei Yisroel v'nei Yehuda asher asu lachiseni. All these terrible deeds of Am Yisrael, that they did this to get me angry, to provoke me. Hema malchehem sarhem. They and their kings and their ministers. Konehem unavihem. Their priests and their prophets. The men of Yehuda and the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, they've all made me very angry. They provoke me because of their deeds. What did they do wrong? As we mentioned before, and now Yirmiyahu summarizes, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, they turned their backs to me, and they didn't turn their faces to me. I've taught them, I've warned them over and over again, trying to teach them, and they don't listen, they don't take rebuke, they don't take Musar. What did they do instead? They took their abominations and they brought that into God's house that His name was known for, and they defiled it. What happened in the time of Achaz, in the time of Manasseh, and seemingly also in the time of Yehoiakim. Even outside Yerushalayim, they built these high places for Baal, especially those in the area of Geben Hinnom, which we discussed before. Laver b'nehem v'dbnotem l'molech. They practice this cult or sacrifice of walking their children in some service to this god called Molech. Asher lo tzivitim v'lo atal libi. Something that I never commanded, never even thought of. Lasot ha-toivah hazot, to do this terrible abomination with their children. L'manachti et Yehuda. This all caused the people of Yehuda to sin. And because of all these sins now, God is explaining to Yirmiyahu, why is it that He's bringing the Churban? Pasuk Lamed Vav. V'ata. L'chein kol ma'ad unai l'chei Yisrael. Again, this is the word of the God of Israel. Ela irazot asher etem omrim nitnabi ad melech bavel becherev uvra v'daver. The same city, which you're saying and everyone knows is going to fall to the hand of Bavel through sword, through famine, and through plague. Even though it's going to fall, here's the reason why I'm telling you to buy fields, because one day they're going to return. And that's why this is Nevot Nechama, even though he's been pretty harsh till here. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Hini mekapzam mikol ha'artzot asher idachtim sham. I'm going to gather them back from all the lands where I dispersed them. And I dispersed them there because of my anger and my fury with them. I'm going to bring them back to this place and they'll settle here securely and safely. And then the famous psukim of the core covenant between God and His people, when they return, we'll get the covenantal relationship to develop properly. Pasuk Lamed Chet. Once again, they'll be my nation. I'll be for them their God. Then I'll give them this good heart, this united heart, and the proper way to fear me. And they'll fear me then for all their days, for their good, they and their children. V'chati lehem brit olam. Then I'm going to reestablish his covenant with them, an everlasting covenant. Asher lo ashuv me'achareihem leitivi otam. And then I won't leave them again. I'll be good to them. Vet yirati etem b'levavam devoti sur me'alai. And then I'll put my fear in their heart, and hopefully that will prevent them from leaving me once again. God's explaining why it's necessary to go into exile, but expressing his deep hope that after this exile, the nation will truly learn their lesson and will not repeat the same behavior that was typical of Bayit Rishon. V'sasti alehem lativotam. I'll rejoice over them to be good for them. Then I'll have a positive attitude about them and do good for them. Untatim ba'aretz hazot. I'm going to plant them once again in this land. Be'met b'chol libi v'chol nafshi. I'll do this with truth. God's saying he'll do it with his full heart and with his whole soul, and truly hopes that after this time of exile, when they return, then the people of Israel will be planted properly in their land, and the sins of the first temple will not be repeated. Pasuk Mem Bet, Ki Chol Ma Adonai Kasher Veti El Ha'am Hazeh Et Kol Hara Gdola Zot. God's saying, just like I brought upon this nation all this great evil and destruction, Kein Anochi Mevi Alehem Et Kol HaTova Asher Anochi Dover Alehem. Surely I'm also going to bring upon them all this good that I'm promising them. There's still hope for the future, and that's why I'm telling you to sign this document, because one time, land and real estate will have value once again in the land of Israel. Pasuk Mem Gimel, V'nigna ha-sadeh be'aretz hazot, asher atem omrim, shmamahi mein adam u'behima nitna b'yad ha-kazdim. Once again, fields will be bought in this land. The land that you're saying about it, it's desolate now, from animal and from man, because it's being given over to the Kazdim. Instead, what will happen in the future? Sadot v'kesef ignu. Once again, people will buy fields for money. V'chato b'sefer v'chatom v'ed edim. And once again, people will be writing deeds and signing documents and bringing witnesses. Be'eretz Binyamin u'visvivei Yerushalayim. In the land of Binyamin and in the cities around Yerushalayim. U'varei Yehuda u'varei Ha'har. In the cities of Yehuda and all the cities on the mountain range. Uvarei Hashfela, Uvarei HaNegev. Also in the lowlands and in the Negev. Ki Ashivet Shvutam Nimadunai. Because I'm going to bring them back to the land, God promises. Not only what a beautiful haftarah for Parshat Bahar, but also very meaningful in our own times, prophecies of Yirmiyahu have once again been fulfilled. Am Yisrael has returned to its land, and once again, the real estate market in Yerushalayim and all the cities around it is flourishing, and people once again are buying houses, buying fields, and hopefully we'll learn not only that God's promises to Yirmiyahu have been fulfilled, but also we'll take the guidance of Yirmiyahu of how we have to act in the land to prevent a destruction once again.